All was worth saying. Question time with you. Question time. The 17th of March, 2022. The panel. Suella Braverman, Conservative. Wes Streeting, Labour. Max Hastings, Historian. The Reverend Richard Coles, Broadcaster. Lysia Vasilenko, Ukrainian MP. The venue, Kettering. Max Hugh MacDonald Hastings was educated privately at Charterhouse, alma mater of Dimbleby's Jonathan and David, following which he failed to graduate from University College Oxford, leaving at the end of his first year. After a brief attempt to join the parachute regiment, Hastings moved into journalism, becoming a foreign correspondent, newspaper editor, the Evening Standard, the Daily Telegraph, and author specialising in military books. Like the Dimbleby's, Max is a hereditary journalist. His father was newspaperman MacDonald Hastings. His grandfather was Basil MacDonald Hastings, a journalist and playwright. Embedded with the Parachute Regiment during the Falklands War, it was Hastings who liberated Port Stanley, in much the same way the BBC's John Simpson liberated Kabul. In an interview with the Oldie, he recalled, "I saw Stanley Cathedral and the Argentine lines about half a mile ahead. I took off my camouflage gear, put my hands in the air and thought, if I can walk up this road and live, then I can bore everybody to death for the next 30 years, which indeed I have." Friends describe Hastings as an insufferably pompous, bumptious egoist. His nickname is General Hastings. His private eye, nom de guerre, is Hitler Hastings. In an interview with the Observer newspaper, the general conceded he has only been on the tube once. A left-of-centre One Nation Tory, he voted for Blair. In a London mayoral election, as then-editor of the London Standard, he advised his readers to vote for Ken Livingstone, while himself voting Conservative. An imposing character, at 6'5", parachute regiment instructors told him he was tall enough to step out of the plane rather than jump. We must reinstate Question Time Review's hair-face-age coefficient. 76-year-old raven-haired Max delivers a ratio of 3-1. One can't help but wonder, after being able to, in his foreign correspondence days, find Saigon and East Falkland, why can't he truck down a toupee with a bit of grey in it? In response to the first question, is it inevitable that Russia will occupy parts of Ukraine for decades, Max thought all conflicts must end with a conversation, this time with Putin, who has been raping Ukraine. Lysia Vasilenko, Ukrainian MP, asked him how. He didn't know and used it as an opportunity to mention his latest book about the Cuban Missile Crisis. He mentioned Putin's horrible weapons. The lesson of history is people have to talk. Fiona Bruce, chair, passed the question to Lysia, who was in the Kettering studio. She wanted an anti-Putin coalition, out with any United Nations resolution, which the Russians could veto given their permanent membership of the UN Security Council. She suggested a no-fly zone over the most sensitive parts of Ukraine. A gentleman in the audience said that we'd gone into Iraq, Afghanistan and Yugoslavia. Why not Ukraine? Suella Braverman, not her real name, reminded us NATO is a defensive alliance, except when it isn't, one might add. She was keen to arm the Ukrainians rather than invade the place ourselves. Suella Braverman, NHRN, is Conservative MP for Fareham in Hampshire. Originally one of the Middlesex Fernandes, her given names are Sue Ellen and Cassiana. Given she was born at the right time, April 1980, QT Review can't help but conclude she was named after soap character Sue Ellen Ewing, J.R. Ewing's wife in the American soap opera Dallas. Stay classy, Pinner. Privately educated at Heathfield School, Pinner, Sue Ellen read law at Queen's College, Cambridge, before embarking on a career of charging £350 to bash out a letter in 5 minutes. Ms. Fernandes contested the 2005 general election in Leicester East, finishing under Keith Vaz, not something one usually associates with Mr. Vaz and a pretty girl. Finally elected to Parliament in 2015, 3 years later she married her sweetheart Rael Braverman at a ceremony in the House of Commons Chapel, followed by a reception and party at the Titchfield Holiday Inn. More class. If you think she's good on the telly, that might be because of £5,400 of media training gifted to her by Melia Advisors, as declared in her members' list of interests. Also declared is £2,000 from the Conservative Friends of Israel for a jolly to Israel and the West Bank. Barnbrook Systems also make regular £4,000-plus donations to Ms. Braverman. Although it's difficult to be cynical about Barnbrook, a family-owned firm business employing 45 people who manufacture components for the defence industry, should they be giving money to an MP, and should Ms. Braverman be accepting it, especially during war? Given our other QT review coefficient is the panellists' written works compared to Amazon sales of the Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom, an unread comment beneath last week's column suggested I review the Marquis's great work instead of this tosh. Puffins will be pleased to hear the aforementioned can be downloaded to the tablet computer for a mere 49p. One wonders how corrupting anything that allows change out of 50p can be. However, a friend informed me, back in the day he spent an unpleasant 9 hours at the Sex Museum in Amsterdam for 33 pence, or a guilder as it was then known. I made an excuse and put the Kindle to one side. I need not have. Sodom was stalking me via the QT panel. A full QT review style biography of Nasty Wes Streeting can be found here. Suffice it to say, he's never had a job, is openly gay, has connections with Creepy Stonewall, and his partner is a Quangoland non-entity called Joseph Dancy. The compulsory Dancy Boy joke is contained within the aforementioned QT review biography. Wesley was uncomfortable. A no-fly zone would be declaring war on Russia. Wes has a red line around NATO territory, but not elsewhere. Using chemical weapons, however, he defined as a terrible act rather than a red line crossed. He's going to prosecute every single Russian general, as well as Putin, for war crimes in The Hague. How? He didn't say. And all without a no-fly zone. The Reverend Coles witnessed the end of communism in the early 1990s. He decided that tyrants will fall on their own without the need for military action. The Reverend Richard Keith Robert Coles, FRSAKFKC, is an English musician, journalist, radio presenter and Church of England parish priest, a BBC type. He hosts Radio 4's long-running Saturday Live programme. Privately educated at Wellingborough School, Richard was a member of the popular music combo The Commune Arts. Alongside fellow band member Jimmy Somerville, he achieved 3 top 10 hit parade singles in the 1980s. In 2003, he began religious formation at the College of the Resurrection, Murfield, West Yorkshire, and was ordained into the Church of England in 2005. Unfortunately, Richard was bunking lectures. The day they pondered the mores of the Old Testament's Book of Leviticus, subsequently entering a civil partnership with Reverend David Oldham, who died 3 years ago from the effects of alcoholism. Following his partner's death, the Reverend Coles received a belated crash course in the third book of the Bible through a small but lively correspondence informing him his late partner was frying in hell for eternity. Mammon also rose to the occasion with a scam GoFundMe page being set up in David's name. The Reverend Richard is a member of the Labour Party. Max referenced Hitler, Stalin, the Prague Spring, the 1956 Hungarian Uprising and the 1938 Russian invasion of Finland. The worst outcome from all of these things would have been a general war against the Russians. He wanted to prevent escalation and told a baffling JFK quote from his new book. There was support from the audience for some kind of a limited no-fly zone, or at least for the use of air power. Lysia called Putin a paranoid type of individual, difficult to reason with. Ukraine will never be a threat to Russia. The next question wondered why a named Ukrainian individual was needed before a virtue signaller's spare room could be offered to them. Sue Ellen said, "We're very generous, but need to know the Ukrainian's name to match them up." The questioner was named Clover. She was offering a room in her home, but didn't know any Ukrainians. The Reverend Coles was frustrated. These things need to be streamlined at the government level. In his parish, there were Ukrainians who were able to get in touch with people in their native country, but dealing with the British authorities was mission impossible. Someone who worked in local government said he was scared. They're already more than full with existing refugees, often placed in unsuitable accommodation. There is no plan. Recent arrivals, many of them very young, are left to their own devices. Max wanted somebody to explain to the public what kind of a new world we are heading into. He foresaw Putin invading the Baltic states and making things even worse. He announced us a spoilt generation, a situation likely to change. He reminded an uncomfortable-looking Lycia that Ukraine had been flattened during the war and rebuilt. Lycia suggested they didn't want to be flattened again. The Ukraine is sick of being invaded. She didn't want her three children to be slaves. She suggested the alternative to well-ordered mass emigration would be those people falling into the hands of people traffickers. Sue Ellen, with the gravitas of one named after a character from Dallas, said she was disappointed people were criticising the government. They'd done such a lot for the Afghans and the Syrians. She announced her father, who sent her to public school, to be a refugee too. A lady in the audience gave her a good kicking over the bureaucracy involved. Sue Ellen reminded us bombed Ukrainian children are a security risk that need to be vetted. Nasty Ways mentioned Lebedev getting a seat in the House of Lords. So Ellen, well-triggered, sprang to the defence of ennobled Tory-donating Russian oligarchs. Max told her the Tory party's links with the oligarchs was a badge of shame. She continued her defence of the right sort of oligarch, proving the point above that MPs shouldn't be taking money off anybody, let alone Russians. The next question was about Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe and the extent that we should try to accommodate Iran and Saudi Arabia. Lycia focused on climate change. Presumably she doesn't know about Naz, the cock-handed MI6 officer who can't set up a spy ring and disinformation operation in Iran without getting caught. Max pointed out we can't fight everybody at once. The focus is on Russia, not Saudi Arabia and Iran. But you won't fight Russia either, pointed out Lycia. Sue Ellen said oil prices are going up and down. No, they aren't. They're just going up. She said Saudi Arabia is the world's biggest oil producer. She was wrong about that as well. She was delighted to see Naz and the other chap released. She's glad Boris had been to Saudi Arabia to set up a three-way deal whereby the Iranians will get well north of $500 million and promise to lay off the Saudis, in return for which we get the Saudi oil, with Naz thrown in as a distraction. Wes doesn't want to be beholden to people who don't share our values. He rearranged the laws of physics to allow for wind and sunshine to provide all our energy needs. At the moment of writing, 20% of our electricity is coming from wind and solar. The other 80%, Wes? And this is in the middle of a windy night when demand is low. Much of the time, Wes's plan will be over 90% short of what we use. Lycia had the last word. She thanked us for our support and told us that over there in the Ukraine, they are fighting for our values, the values that the whole world shares. The QT panel and audience were convinced and gave her a round of applause.